Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, October 6, 2013, Pastor Paul Tolberg. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make Him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
I want to share with you something. As a pastor, what happens is, as a pastor, I'm supposed to shepherd, to guard, to guide, to keep God's people close to God. On the front of your worship folder, there is something that calls God a liar. Now, normally what happens is when I run across these things, I just put them aside so that nobody is troubled. But then I thought, we're going to be going through God's Word in great detail. You need to understand how to read God's Word. You need to look at the words. Okay? It says, Lord, I take the bread that represents your body. That's a lie. I drink from this cup which represents the blood of the covenant. That's also a lie. But what I want you to do is take your pencil or pen and just draw a single line through the word represents, and a single line through the word represents underneath it. And then underneath, you actually see what God said. This is my blood. Circle that word is. Of the new covenant which is shed. Circle those words, is shed. On the same page, in a church, with well-intentioned people, I'm sure, well-intentioned artists, you got someone calling God a liar. And then right underneath it, you have what God actually said. And people don't even take the time to say, oh, this might not be right. When you point this out to people, they'll say, oh, pastor, picky, picky, picky. Have you heard that? Picky, picky, picky. Why don't you just let that go a little bit? Let that go a little bit. Let that go a little bit. You know what? I am picky, and so are you. As Christians, we are picky because God handpicked each word for His Bible. He handpicked a special protection about every word for hundreds and thousands of years so that you and I would have those exact words. God is picky. I'm picky. God's picky another way. God looked over all humanity, and guess what? He reached into this, and He picked you. And He picked me to hear this word of His. And His Holy Spirit created faith in our hearts to believe what was said, what was written, what is spoken about God and His word and His precious Son, Jesus Christ. That's an amazing thing. And you and I have been gifted with this wonderful thing. Which leads us to the napkin. You may set aside this now. The napkin deals with the fact that we're going to go through the whole Bible. And one of the reasons why people don't go through the whole Bible is because there's lots of big words in there, Pastor. Lots of big words. And there's lots of strange-sounding words, like Philistines. Lots of strange-sounding places, like Babylonia. What does that have to do with me in America, in Wisconsin, in Saratoga Township? What does that have to do with me right now? Well, that's why you have the napkin. Because I'm going to teach you a big word today. It's a big word that runs through every letter and every word of God's word. It's called justification. And you're going to need a napkin for this, because I'm going to teach you justification on a napkin. Whoops. You need, first of all, draw some boxes on your napkin like that. While you're drawing your boxes on your napkin, I'll tell you why I have this on a napkin. When you go to picnics and stuff, people always give you a napkin. When you go to people's homes, they give you a napkin. When you go out to eat, you usually have a napkin wrapped around your silverware. If you go out to a bar and you have a drink after work, you have a napkin underneath your drink. There's napkins all over the place. And guess what? There are great ways to help people understand about God. The text for today is what we're going to be looking at. So on the very first box on the left-hand side, the word, put the letter W, stands for wages. What are wages? Good question, Pastor. I don't have enough of them anymore. What are wages? It's a paycheck. It's what you get for working. You put in 8 days worth of work, you get an 8 days worth of work paycheck. You wish it was more. It's what you get. It's what you deserve because you put in the sweat. You have the brain power. You have all that stuff. You're the one. They hired you to do this job. You're doing this job, and you're doing it, and that's what you get. You get a paycheck. It's your wages, and you are proud of that. I remember getting my first paycheck. I was so proud of that. I took my whole family out to McDonald's when McDonald's was still cheap. The wages. In the next box, put S. S stands for sin. What's sin? Now, if you're at a bar or you're at lunchtime with somebody drinking some coffee or they're saying, well, uh-oh, this is going to get heavy. You say, well, no, just tell me what sin is. Well, that's bad. It's killing somebody. It's stealing somebody. It's taking somebody's car. It's taking a rock and throwing it in somebody's window. It's stealing somebody's wages. That's what I think is happening in my wages, Pastor. Okay, yeah, God says those things are sin. Anything else about sin? Well, what if you're walking by somebody who is in the process of getting beat up and you don't do anything to help? Would you say that's wrong? Oh, yeah, that's definitely wrong. That's wrong. Okay, well, God agrees with you. God calls that a sin, too, when you don't do the thing you're supposed to do. So as you're talking with this friend of yours, just say, are you perfect? Oh, no, not me. No, no, no. And you say, guess what? Neither am I. I am not perfect. So the wages of sin, the paycheck I get for not being perfect, is this letter D. D stands for death. What's death? Well, that's a good question. Let me think about that for a while. What is death? You ever thought about that? Death is a separation. When my soul leaves the compartment called my body, I will die. And if I die right now, if I drop right now, and Barb is sitting on the way back there, she could go back and get those paddles, come up here, because... But if God wants me home, my soul is going to stay out of my body, and I'm going to be forever home in heaven. But I will have been dead. My body will have died. My soul separates from my body. I die. I am born that way with God. I'm God's enemy from the moment I'm conceived and born, David said. Can you imagine that? I was talking with a couple of people this week, and one of the adults that I was sharing this with, I said, you know, it always amazes me that people think that children are born holy and perfect. Do you ever have to teach a child to disobey? No. They come by that naturally. Except, of course, for me. At which point, my children, if they're watching right now, are throwing things at the screen. We are born separated from the perfect life, the holiness that God wants us to be like Him. So the wages of sin, but there's a worse death. There's a worse death than being physically dead. There's a worse death than being spiritually on the inside dead. It's being eternally dead. See, heaven is with God. To be forever apart from God, apart from light, apart from kindness, be forever separated from love and joy and peace and harmony. Be forever separated from friends. Forever separated. Incredible loneliness. Incredible pain. Never ending. Well, that's the paycheck you get for sinning. So far, your napkin is not very happy. Many people stop right there because they want to make people sweat. You need to understand something. The wages of sin is death, and now you put this little B. See the little B that just popped in there at the bottom? The little B at the bottom. But God wants to draw your attention to something. So in the Greek language, he put down this little word that says, however. Well, that's good. I want to hear however, because so far all I got is bad news. The paycheck I get for sinning is death. For not being perfect, I die. This is not good news. Well, what's the good news? Well, here's the good news. The gift. G is for gift. What's a gift? I decided to give you something today. You all got a napkin. You're snickering, but, you know, it's a lot of thought that went into that napkin. Okay? That's my gift. A gift is something that somebody else decides to give to somebody based on what that person feels about that person that they're giving it to. In my family, I love to get surprise gifts. My wife does not like to get surprise gifts. But we both like to get gifts. Because a gift, it says, oh, this means something to someone, and they're giving it to you. They want you to have something. How cool is that? It's somebody else's decision completely. It's all done. It's all paid for. There you go. It's yours. And the gift of God. And now here's the key question. When you're talking to somebody and you put down the next G, you ask them this question, what is God? And they might snap up their heads and look at you. What do you mean, what is God? Well, you know, the world thinks of God like a force, like some huge plan that goes on in the sky somewhere around there, some kind of a heebie-jeebie kind of a thing. You know, you do bad, you do good, just magically just happens all around. And they might think that. And you need to let them know that lots of people think that. But God tells us that he is a person. He thinks, he has emotions, he plans, he prepares, he carries out things. God, the gift of God, God has no sin. He is only perfect. He never does a thing wrong. Oh. Can you imagine what his gifts are like? That's kind of cool. What are his gifts? The gift of God is, the bottom box, put down L for life. If death is separation, life is being together. It's eternal life, being together with God. Did you hear what I just said? Every time I say it, just a little tingle all over my whole body again. Being together forever with God. God, there's nothing bad. It's only joy and happiness, only sunshine, only wonderful things forever with him, not against him, not being ashamed to be in his presence, forever with him as his best friend. What a wonderful thing that is. The wages of sin is death. Oh, gift of God's eternal life. Ah. How do I get that? This is a terrible way to be over there. This on this side is a wonderful way to be. I don't want to have the wages of sin as death. But there, I can't, how do I get this gift? How do I get this gift? And then you draw these. Two more boxes. The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in Jesus Christ. It is in a person. Son of God. The living Son of the living God. In Jesus Christ. True God and true man. And what he did is he took all of that pain and death and sorrow and all the paycheck of every human being's worth of sin. And he was crushed on a cross for that. And he did it on purpose, willingly in our place. And then he came back to life again. And he says, trust me in this. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in me, in Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't find it anywhere else. You can look up all you want in all the mythology books of every religious text you've ever run across, but guess what? There is no other place where the God who says he cares for his people actually steps into history and dies to set them free. The living God did that. The place in Bethlehem he was born, he lived and he died, right outside of Jerusalem, crucified. They shoved him quick into a tomb because there was no time to prepare his funeral. It was too rushed. And then on the third day, just like he promised, he came back to life again. And he says to us, just like he said to them, peace. Peace. You forgive anyone who sins, they're forgiven. You don't forgive them, they're not forgiven. And then comes a really important part with your napkin. Are you ready? Fold it up. Fold it up. And you give it to them. So that they know that they hold in their hands a ticket to heaven. They can go back and check it any time. The wages of sin is death. Yeah, that's a terrible thing. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful thing this is. And that, my dear friends, is a word we call justification. Where God looks at Jesus, instead of seeing our sin, it's just as if I'd never sinned at all. I have been justified. Declared righteous because of what he did for me. In his name, breathe in that nice, free air of forgiveness. And let us live for him this week. Amen.